Going Linux, Episode 30, Backups, the Advanced Episode. Welcome to the Going Linux Podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy.
And I'm your co-host, Tom.
Going Linux is designed to provide you with practical, day-to-day advice on how to use Linux and Linux applications to get things done.
Hey, if you're new to Linux, or you're moving to Linux, or just thinking about going to Linux, then this is the podcast for you. In our user experience episodes, we take 2 months to cover a topic. During the first month, we introduce the topic for new Linux users and recent converts.
And during month two, we discuss the same topic from a more advanced perspective for users of Linux building their confidence and competence with their new operating system. Between user experience episodes, we have listener feedback episodes. Today, the advanced episode on how to back up your computer.
We hope that you'll find this and all of our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and its applications and using them to get things done.
Okay, Tom, last time in our introductory episode to backing up, we talked about a few backup programs for Linux. We mentioned Simple Backup, RDIF Backup, Backer Upper, the one we like the name of.
Excellent name.
Yes, it is. HU Backup, rsync and grsync, Clonezilla, and G4L.
And this time we're just going to pick a couple of the ones that we like the best and talk about those.
Yeah, in fact, we had a little bit of mixed experience in getting some of these to work. So
We sure did.
Yeah, we definitely did. Let's start off, before we get into the details of how to do backups, with a review of why backing up is important.
Okay, you want to back up the information on your hard drive on a regular basis, and that's critical for anyone who uses a computer routinely. Let's say you spent hours on end recording the information that's on your hard drive, and much of that data is extremely important and, a lot of times, irreplaceable stuff. Your hard drive, every hard drive, will die one day, probably suddenly. It's only a matter of time, or disaster, flood, fire, locusts, disease, zombies. But you should be routinely backing up at least your new data files on a weekly or monthly basis. We're talking about anything that's on your hard drive that you want to make sure you don't lose, even if your operating system crashes or your drive dies. And on a Linux computer, these are usually stored in your home directory. If you've kept everything in your home directory backed up, you can rebuild, almost certainly. And for that matter, you can save your home directory and probably even use it to run another distribution of Linux.
Today, most computers come equipped with at least a CDRW drive, a CD rewritable drive. So invest in a set of CDRW disks or even just CDR disks so that if you don't have a second hard drive, you just use the CDRW drive to make a monthly full backup. And periodically between those full backups, you should be making incremental backups of the critical data files that have changed since the last time you made a full backup, and make those onto that CD as well. So don't wait. Do it now. Backup now.
Or you have been warned.
Exactly. You'll be wishing you had.
You mentioned incremental backup. Let's review that terminology as well. Full backup is going to back up everything, absolutely everything that's in your home directory. And a good backup program will now remember all of those files, and it will look to see if anything's changed, and it will save the changes. It also saves the original data before the change. So let's say you made a full backup 6 months ago, and that file changed 10 times over the last 6 months. Well, if you remember that the file was working great 3 months ago, and it was exactly what you wanted, or you want to go back and review what was in that file 2 months ago or 4 months ago, you can go back to that backup and get the data as it existed then.
Yeah, and incremental backups, sometimes, depending on the program you're using, are called partial backups, or they may be called by other names, but basically there are two types of backups. The full backup, which may be a full backup of your home directory, or it may even be a full backup of your entire partition or hard drive.
Sure.
But the incremental backups are just the changes from the last time you made your full backup, as you mentioned, Tom.
Right, and the incrementals go quickly. They don't take up much space. Relatively easy to do, so there's no excuse not to.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's get on with our review of our backup solutions. Last time, one of the command line backup applications we mentioned was rsync. I had said that rsync looks like it was originally designed for system administrators, for backing up computers that are connected on a network server and backing them up to that network server.
Right, that's how I understood it too.
Yeah. Since then, we've received an email from listener Daniel with a well-written tutorial on how to use rsync to back up a desktop machine.
Yeah, thanks, Daniel. And Daniel originally published his tutorial on the Linux Basement site, linuxbasement.com. And he said it'd be okay if we published it here, too. So we did.
And we'll have a link on the show notes, of course, as well. Daniel provided an excellent description of how to use the Linux command line applications rsync, bash, and cron to schedule backups of your home folder so that it's backed up automatically. As Daniel put it, I wanted to back up my home directory using rsync to a separate drive and to make it happen automatically. That's exactly what his article does.
And we should probably talk about some of those things that you just said, Larry. rsync is a command line program for Linux that performs backups. Bash is a scripting language for Linux that allows you to automate the commands you run in the command line. And cron is a Linux program that schedules programs to run based on time. You can see the potential of these programs to work together to provide automated backups. Thanks to Daniel for providing that tutorial.
As I mentioned, we'll have a link in the show notes to Daniel's step-by-step instructions on how to do it. It's command line, but it's easy to use, and it works beautifully. Thanks again, Daniel, for doing the research and for sharing the steps.
The one GUI-based backup program that I really like is called Simple Backup, and it really is simple. There's a link on our site with excellent instructions on how to set that up for backups and restoring backups. Just go to the show notes. You set it up, you configure it, and tell it backup now, and it does. And it's really, really nice that it does full compression, which means that the data files get a lot smaller, if possible. And you can have it automatically do incremental backups. And I didn't realize this when I was setting it up. I thought that I would have to open it again, but it opens itself somehow and runs in the background. You never see it happening, but there's your incremental backup. Even if you forgot it, it happens. And it seems really, really reliable if the drive that you're backing up to is mounted. Now, I'm not doing this to a CD drive, and I'm not sure if it would work for that. I'm going to a second hard drive that's on my computer. So, Larry, do you know if it'll work with a CD drive?
I don't know. I have tried using Simple Backup, and in fact, I like it so much, I think I'm going to be using it on a regular basis. But no, I haven't tried it to a CD. I don't know whether it'll work or not.
Right.
Yeah, I do my backups as you do to an external hard drive.
And having the drive there all the time, you don't have to have a particular CD in the drive for when the program fires itself up and takes care of it.
Right.
The other drive's going to be there anyway.
And for our listeners, there was also a review of Simple Backup on Nathan Hale's podcast, the Productive Linux podcast. We'll provide a link in our show notes to his episode there as well. He describes, in somewhat the same way you did, Tom, a basic backup of his hard drive using Simple Backup. It's really an easy-to-use program. And I think for someone looking for something simple, easy to use, and automated, Simple Backup is probably the way to go.
Now, I believe that Ubuntu comes with Home User Backup, HU Backup.
Right.
And I didn't get that to work at all.
Really?
It said it was working, and 5 seconds later it said it was done. It didn't put anything away. So, sorry. Simple Backup is a lot better.
Yeah, it really helps if something works. You know, my experience in reviewing the two cloning programs that we had mentioned last time, CloneZilla and G4L, fared somewhat similar. One of them worked beautifully, very easy to use, very intuitive, and the other one, quite frankly, I couldn't get it to work. And if I couldn't get it to work, I'm sure someone new to Linux would just give up or end up chasing their tail, which can be very, very, very frustrating. So now I guess I should probably say which one worked and which one didn't, huh? Would that
Good
be
idea.
Helpful? Yeah. Okay. I couldn't get G4L working, which is the one that for Windows users used to using Ghost from Symantec. G4L takes its name from that. It was originally called Ghost for Linux, and G4L is not at all like Ghost in terms of its simplicity. Yeah, when I booted to the live CD for G4L, I had my hard drive in there ready to be backed up. I had my external hard drive ready to receive the backup, and as soon as I got through the boot menu, which had some puzzling descriptions on it, I took the default, and beyond that, it didn't seem to want to log in. At the very least, I ended up at a bash command prompt. With no description as to what to do from there. So definitely we need some more research on this one. I just couldn't get it to work.
Huh.
Now, the one that did work, the one that worked very nicely, did exactly what I was looking for it to do, which is to make a backup of the entire hard drive.
Okay, and is this an image file?
It is a yes, indeed. It's an image file.
Excellent.
The program is CloneZilla. And you have a number of options as to how you can make your backup. So let me just walk through the steps, and I'll have a little more detailed description not in the show notes, but I'll write an article for it and include that on the website and link to it from the show notes. But let me just walk you through it. To start with, you boot from the CloneZilla Live CD. And I have to say, when you go to the CloneZilla site, there are two different versions that you can download. One is a live CD version, which is the one that I tested out, and the other is a version that allows you to boot from a USB drive, a USB thumb drive, or pen drive, whatever you want to call it.
Pen drive, thumb drive, jump drive.
Yes, lots of different names for these things, but a USB stick drive.
Okay.
So there are two versions. And as I mentioned, the one that I tried out was the live CD version. So you need a CD drive, you need the hard drive you're going to back up, and you need a drive you're going to back up to.
How big is it? How big a thumb drive do you need?
I didn't download it, so I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll go look at that.
It might be worth checking out, and that might be something I'll do later on. I just needed something with a CD, though, so that's what I checked out. After booting from the CD, you get to a boot screen for CloneZilla Live. There are a few options there. I just picked the default, and then it recognizes your hardware and recognizes how it's going to boot up and so on. So once you're past all that text, you end up choosing your language, and your choices are English or traditional Chinese. So I chose traditional I chose English.
You see, I can never decide.
And I don't speak traditional Chinese, unfortunately. And those are the only two choices on this. But English is well documented, and there are very few spelling errors. I found one in the menus, but that was the only one that I found. So I'm not going to harsh on them. If you read our website, you'll know what I mean.
Okay.
I'm not the best speller in the world either. So after choosing your language, you choose your keyboard layout. I chose the default, and then it gives you a menu prompt to start CloneZilla. Once it starts, you have two options. One is to make a device to image copy, and the second is to make a device to device copy.
Okay.
So the first one, of course, is taking your hard drive and making an image on it, and making an image of it on your backup device. The second is to make a clone from one hard drive directly to the second hard drive. The default is the device to image, and that's the one I chose. And in fact, most of what I chose for the backups were the defaults, and it worked beautifully. The next screen gives you a number of options as to where you're going to make the backup. It defaults to a local device, for example, a hard drive or a USB drive, and that's what I chose. But the other options include an SSH server, a Samba server, so if you have a Windows formatted drive somewhere on a network, I'm assuming that that's going to work. I haven't tried that out, but
good idea, though, especially if the other machine is off-site.
Yeah, exactly. NFS file server. Then the other two options are not really related to where you back up. One is to enter a shell rather than continue with the menus. And the last one is skip. And what skip does, according to the documentation, is it makes the backup onto the drive you're backing up, which it says in the menus is risky.
I guess.
Yeah, I can see why. Anyway, I chose the default, which was to make a backup to a local device. And of course, I was using an external USB hard drive.
Okay.
Then you're prompted to insert your USB device. You then press the Enter key to continue. I had two hard drives on my laptop, the main laptop drive and the USB drive, and it showed both of them in the next screen. So you just need to be careful that you choose the device that you're going to back up to, the USB device. And in fact, it is well identified. It described it as a USB 2.0 drive, and so that's the one I chose. After you press Enter on that screen, it shows some text below the menus where it's indicating that it's mounting the hard drives. And what I found, I tried this on two different computers, one an older computer with limited RAM, and the other one a brand new computer that I have, that is a dual core with 3 gigabytes of RAM, and there was a significant difference in how quickly it recognized that external USB drive.
Okay.
And I'm not sure whether it was processor dependent or RAM dependent, but with the older computer with a slower processor and limited RAM, it took almost a minute and a half to 2 minutes to recognize the USB drive, the external USB drive I was backing up to. So if you see the screen with the cursor flashing away, be patient. It will eventually happen.
Maybe the older machine can't do USB 2.0, and it was falling back to 1.0.
You know, I thought about that as well. And no, the computer I was using did have USB 2.0.
Okay.
And So it had something to do with the configuration of that particular computer. So anyway, my recommendation is if you're using an older computer or if you have limited RAM, just be a little patient at that screen. It'll eventually recognize that USB drive, and you're away and sailing. At this point, you haven't told CloneZilla whether you're making a backup or whether you're restoring. You've just identified where you want the backup to be, if you're making a backup, or you've told it where the backup exists if you're going to be making a restoration of that image. So unlike some other backup programs where you tell it right up front whether you're backing up or restoring, CloneZilla walks you through the configuration of your system first, and then you tell it almost at the end whether you're making a backup or a restoration.
Okay.
So in fact, after it recognizes the external drive on the next screen, you have the choice of saving your backup or of restoring your backup to what CloneZilla refers to as the client computer. The client computer is the one you're making the backup of. There are two other options. One is to save partitions, and the other is to restore partitions. So not only do you have the ability to save and restore the entire disk, but you have the option to save and restore individual partitions if you prefer to do it that way.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So the next couple of screens, I selected the defaults again. The very next screen is a priority screen, which describes the various options that CloneZilla uses for making the backup. For example, the default is to start with an NTFS clone program, then move to a part image program, and then to move to DD. Part image and DD, Linux users will recognize as programs that are used for doing backups or for creating partitions and so on. NTFS clone is also a Linux program that allows you to, as the name suggests, clone NTFS partitions. So if you choose that priority, that that order of using these
that
backup
format.
Programs, yes,
okay.
It will first start with NTFS clone. If there's an NTFS formatted partition, it will then make a copy of it. It will then move to part image and then to DD to look for Linux formatted partitions and make backups of those.
Now, NTFS is the traditional Microsoft?
Yeah, it's the Windows format that started with, I think it was Windows 2000 and continues on to this day through Windows XP and Windows Vista. So prior to that, it was FAT32 or FAT, or just plain FAT, I guess, the file format. So if you are using NTFS, dual booting, for example, Windows and Linux, that first priority will work just fine for you. It'll back up both the Windows partition and the Linux partition, or partitions, depending on how you have your computer configured. So that first default configuration is probably the one you want to choose. Next screen, you have some advanced extra parameters. Again, I chose the defaults, and the only thing that was selected in the default there was client, which again, client in CloneZilla terms is the computer you're backing up. Client waits for confirmation before cloning, which simply means that it's going to prompt you before it actually begins the cloning operations. The next screen, you select the compression settings. It defaults to using gzip compression. As you described in our introductory episode to backing up, compression is squishing down the files in your computer's hard drive in so that they take up less space on the backup drive.
Yeah, kind of like those things that they used to sell on the shopping network where you could put a pillow and some blankets in a bag and suck out the air with your vacuum cleaner, right?
Yes, I remember those. I think they still sell those. The other options you have are a couple of other compression options, but the default seem to work just fine. It's kind of a nice balance between speed and image size, so that's why I chose it. That and the fact that it was the default. The other options are BZip2, which is slower, but it really gives you the smallest image. And so if your backup drive is limited on space, that's really the one you want to choose.
So you'll end up with a BZ file.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of a zip file.
Yes. So the GZip is the one by default, but the next choice down would be the BZip2 compression. The other two are faster, but you, for speed, you sacrifice the size of the image. So if you have lots of space on your backup drive and you don't mind wasting space, in my opinion, you can choose one of the other options.
Wasting space, but saving time.
Yeah, but saving time, exactly. All right, we're almost done. You're prompted to give the image a name. It defaults to the current date and then ends it with IMG. And what it actually does is it creates a folder or a directory on the backup drive with that name and puts several files into that folder or that directory. Your last selection is to select the disk to back up. So if you have more than one disk drive in your computer that you will be backing up, this is where you select the one you want to back up. In my case, it was a laptop. It only has one hard drive. There was only one selection, and it did describe it very well. So I chose that, which was probably a wise choice. Before it begins the backup, it describes what's being backed up. It identifies the disk that you're backing up, and in my case it was HDA, and it gives a description of the disk, and then below that it describes that it's backing up the partition HDA1, and it describes the partition including the file system. In my case it was EXT3 because I was backing up an Ubuntu hard drive.
Okay.
And the final prompt is, are you sure you want to continue? You type a Y for yes and N for no. And if you type the Y, it begins the backup. And there you go.
And when it starts backing up, you hear beep, beep, beep. No, you don't. That's trucks.
That's no, right. No, you don't hear that. It's not okay. That kind of backup, Tom.
So we have two pretty good choices. Very simplest is called Simple Backup. That's the one I'm using. And lots more features in CloneZilla. Now, will CloneZilla do incremental backups?
No, CloneZilla is just for backing up the entire hard drive. You can either make an image of the drive, or you can back it up or clone it to another hard drive.
Sure.
The other option, of course, is to make a clone of an individual partition. So I suppose, and I didn't test this out, but I suppose that if you had a dual boot system and you only wanted to back up your Linux partition or you only wanted to back up your Windows partition, you could do that using CloneZilla. So CloneZilla is not for incremental backups, and it's not something that I would expect that the average user would be using as their normal backup.
But it's good to know that it's there and it's not terribly difficult to use.
It's very easy to use and it's very good at making a backup so that if something goes horribly wrong and you need to be up and running quickly, you have an image that you know will work.
Cool.
Just a couple of things that I noticed. I tried backing up a Windows XP drive that I had, and one of the options that I didn't describe in the steps that I just mentioned was that you could resize the partition when you restore it. Now, I had a Windows XP drive on a 60 gigabyte hard drive, and I didn't have another 60 gigabyte hard drive to restore it to. So I tried restoring it to a 40 gigabyte hard drive. It didn't work. The menu description said restore or resize the image to fit on a different size hard drive or words to that effect. Now, after it didn't work, I got to thinking, well, maybe it doesn't restore to a smaller hard drive. Maybe it only restores to a larger hard drive and takes up the entire disk drive space so that if you start with a 40 gigabyte drive or 40 gigabyte partition, if you restore it to a 60 gigabyte hard drive, that you don't end up with a 40 gigabyte partition and then 20 gigabytes unused. So I don't know whether that's the case or whether the problem is because that particular feature doesn't work with NTFS partitions. And I didn't have a chance before our recording to try it with a Linux partition to see if it would downsize an image into a smaller hard drive on restoration.
Okay, it doesn't sound like this is a problem that will be commonly run into, though.
No, I don't think so.
For the most part, it works.
Exactly. The place you might want to use that would be probably where you're upgrading your computer. You've made a backup of your original computer, and it'll have a smaller hard drive than a new computer, and so maybe the resizing to a larger hard drive is the right thing to do.
Okay.
So I'm not sure, but I was able to restore several different Linux partitions, several different Linux disks back to the original hard drive, and I took a 40 gigabyte Linux drive and restored it to a different 40 gigabyte Linux drive, and that worked fine as well. So I know using equally sized hard drives will work even if it's not the same hard drive that you're restoring it to.
Huh. Very interesting. Well, you did a lot more research than I did. I'm going on trust that with simple backup, it's going to restore as easily as it backs up. I did go into the menu for recovery, and it looked pretty neat. You're able to pick a particular incremental backup and a time, and go back to that time. I didn't actually do it. So you did better than I did there, buddy.
Maybe I had a little more time. I was certainly motivated as well, because with a new computer, I wanted to make sure that I had something that would back up my entire hard drive from my old computer so that I had a good backup.
I've just got the one computer, so...
Yeah.
I really wasn't motivated to mess with restoring if I didn't need it.
Well, the other reason is I wanted to try, now that I have the new computer with Hardy Heron on it, my old computer has Gutsy Gibbon on it. So I wanted to try the upgrade from Gutsy to Hardy and see if that worked. I haven't had a
lot. How did that go?
I haven't done it yet. I haven't had a lot of success in upgrading Ubuntu in the past. I've always done fresh installs because the upgrade only worked once for me on one computer, but failed on a couple of others. And before I did an upgrade from Gutsy to Hardy, I wanted to make sure I had a backup. So...
I haven't had the guts to go from Gutsy to Hardy yet.
And I think there are a few people out there that agree with you. But I decided that since I got a new computer, I would try installing Hardy on it. And I know this is the backup episode, but I have to describe that the computer I purchased was my first 64-bit computer. And I decided to try the 64-bit version of Hardy. And I've heard horror stories about 64-bit drivers not being available and 64-bit applications not working. I have to say the only problem that I've had with the 64-bit version of Hardy Heron is Firefox 3 Beta 5, which...
A little glitchy?
Yeah, Hardy installs by default the Firefox beta version, which hopefully they'll, you know, firm it up and get it to a full release version soon, but it does crash. I never had any problems with Firefox 2 crashing, but Firefox 3 is made up for it, at least the beta version.
Now, you're running KDE, or are you running the iCandy, the Compiz Fusion?
Yes, I am, but even if I turn that off, it still crashes much more frequently than Firefox ever crashed before. And it's the only thing that appears to crash. I will say, though, that there are a couple of applications that don't seem to have a 64-bit version, or at the very least, they don't work with Hardy. I don't know whether it has anything to do with 64-bit or not. One is the XML file editor that I use for editing our RSS feeds. It doesn't seem to work under Hardy, at least the 64-bit version, and there were a couple of others. But minor annoyances, I think I've got other ways of doing these things, and no big deal.
Yeah, if you're going to live out on the bleeding edge, you're going to run into such things.
Exactly. And if worst comes to worst, I still have my 32-bit older computer that I'm not retiring. I'll be using it for doing some other things, like testing out distributions and testing out software applications for our podcast. And it's a 32-bit machine. As soon as I upgrade it to Hardy 32-bit, we'll see if those other applications still work or not, and whether it's a 64-bit problem or whether it's just something in Hardy broke them, which I doubt.
Yeah.
All right, so I think we can wrap up our backup episode, Tom.
In our Sounds good.
Yes, in our next episode, listener feedback. So until then, our listeners, as always, can go to the articles and the show notes at goinglinux.com for more information and detailed instructions. Email us with your comments, questions, and suggestions.
And hey, want to hear your voice on this podcast? Send us an audio comment by email or leave it on our listener feedback line. We'll play it on the show.
Tom, what's the listener feedback line number?
This time I have it in front of me. It is 206-350-5251. That's right, 206-350-5251.
Call now.
And put a plus one in front of that if you're Skyping. And the email address, as always, is goinglinux@gmail.com.
You can download the episodes from the website, or you can use the Flash Player right there on the website to play it. Right there on the website.
Right there on the site, right there. You can also get future episodes delivered directly to your computer automatically as soon as a new episode is available. Instructions on how to do that are on the website. goinglinux.com.
Absolutely. So until next time, thanks for listening.
And we'll talk to you later.
Theme music provided by Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com.